All right, we'll say good morning and good morning to everyone. So let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Zayin. So we have a lot of nice gemara today. So first we're going to pick up a little bit from a continuation of a discussion we began yesterday. So we're actually picking up the last two words, Mem Vav Amud Beis, 46b. Amar Rava, top of Mem Zayin. Lo shon elo da amar la bezu'u bezu'u bezu'u. Aval amar la be'elu. So we'll say, remember again, actually some of you raised this question at the end of the shir yesterday. Rava comes along and qualifies something that we learned yesterday. That we only learn when we spoke about the case. If you look at Rashi, top of Mem Zayin, Lo Shanu Hechad Da Ochelus Rishonu Rishonu Dein Nistafos Leprut. Remember again, the last line of yesterday's Mishnah said that if she's eating the dates as they come in, they're not mitstarif to a prutas. I think Gil was raising this after the shir yesterday, meaning why not? Why can't it be that ultimately, again, the dates just simply come out? If he's giving them to her, why can't they combine? So Rav is saying like this, he qualifies it. When do we say that the dates don't combine as she's eating them? Ella da amar la bezu'u bezu. That's only when he uses the lashon with this one and with this one. Rashi says why. The second Rashi, Mem Zayinam Adalev, Ella da amar la bezu'u bezu. De lo gamri kiddushin. Because we'll say when he says to her, his kanshili betamrazu, ubezu'u bezu'u bezu, his das is that the kiddushin should not be affected until he's given her all of the dates. Adne sina achrono, shehi gamar diburo, ukvar hayar rishonos milva. So we'll say, so Rava says like this. When he says to her, "Is kajli b'tamra zu'u b'zu'u b'zu'u b'zu'u," so his das clearly is what? That Lamaisik doesn't want the Kiddushin to be affected until the last date. Although, remember again, yesterday, we've qualified, what's the real definition of the last date? Right, the first one that's worth a Shavar Pruta, right? So he doesn't have in mind that the Kiddushin is Chal until the last date. And therefore, again, because of that, each and every earlier date ultimately is a halva. Aval. Amrla be'elu, but if he said to her, "Is kachili be'elu, become mikudeshes to me with these dates," then afilu ocheles nami mikudeshes. Then ultimately, again, even if she's eating them as they come in, she's still mikudeshes. Why? Ki ka'achla midinafsha ka'achla, because as she's eating the dates, she's eating her dates. Look at Rashi. Aval be'elu mikavala sarishon alo ba'asali yada b'taras milva. Because if he says become mikudeshes with be'elu, with these dates, then when the first one comes to her hand, it's not coming as a halva. Dimishenigmar hadibar hikna la b'taras kiddushin. Because Rav says as soon as he finishes the statement, he's given her over the dates, b'toras kiddushin, v'chi achla midida ka'achla, v'afilu achla rishon rishon mikudeshes, imyesh b'kulon shavar pruta. So Bosei Rava makes an interesting distinction. When do we say that if she eats the dates as they come in, that it's problematic? That's when he said to her, "Iskachli b'tamra zu'u b'zu'u b'zu'u b'zu'u," and therefore, again, in that case, each earlier date is considered to be like a halva. But if he groups the dates together, and he says, "Iskachli be'elu, become mikudeshni with this group," then essentially he's giving over the group to her ultimately again, and the group has the ability, as long as the group itself is worth a pruta, then lemaisa again, the act of kiddushin will be fine. Correct. Meaning, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter. Correct. Meaning, remember, anytime, the chiddush case is where he's giving it to her one at a time. If he gives her a group of dates, then there's no question because lemaisa again, it's a prota right there. See, but the idea over here is he says be'elu, but he's giving them in succession. The halacha is even if she's eating them, she will still be mikudeshes. Tanya kavase dirava. We have a brisa that supports Rav. It's kachli ba'alon b'rimonu ba'egos. Become mikudeshes to me with the alone, the egos, and the rimon, right? So again, the alone is a gallnut, rimon is a pomegranate, egos is usually a walnut. Osha amarla is kachidi be'elu. Or if he said to her, become mikudeshes to me with these things. So what's the halacha? Im yish bakulon shavar pruta mikudeshes. So we're going to explain this price in just a moment. If the sum total of all of them is a pruta, then she's mikudeshes. Ve'im lav, ina mikudeshes. But if not, she's not mikudeshes. However, bezu'u, bezu'u, bezu. But if he said to her, with this one, and with this one, imish pekulon shavar pruta mikudeshes, if the total of them is a pruta, then she's mikudeshes. Ve'im lav, and if not, ina mikudeshes. Bezu, so we'll say now a third case. Bezu, natalaso va'achaloso. If he gives her, the alon, the rimon of the ego, says, with this one, she takes it and she eats it. Bezu, natalaso va'achaloso. With this one, she takes it and she eats it. Va'od bezu, va'od bezu. Eina mikudeshes ad shehe ba'achas men shaver pruta. Fine. So we'll say that's the braisa. So asks the Gemara, hai ba'alon rimon of the ego, say, what's the case? What's the case of alon egos, el rimon and egos, if you want to say the case over here is where he said, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines down from the top. So if you want to say it's a case, that he used lashon of o, right? Either with the gallnut, with the pomegranate, or with the egos. Why does the temple say if you're using a lashon of o, then what? Why does the total of the three things have to be a pruta? What's the idea? V'hai o ka'amar. But say if you're saying o, what does o mean? O means as long as one of them is worth a pruta. In other words, I don't need the total of them. Let me say it differently. It's not enough for the total of the three items to be a shavar pruta, but rather one of them must actively be a shavar pruta. Ve'ela ba'alon uberimon ube'egos. But rather it must be a case of where he's saying to her, ba'alon uberimon ube'egos, all three. But then, haidu bazu bazu bazu. Then the case is repetitive because the Bryce explicitly says that case bazu 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 with this one, with this one, with this one. Elalav do amr la beelu. Oh, rather, what's the case of Osai? The case is where he's saying to her, his kanshili beelu, become kudeshes to me with all of these items. One second. Hamid diktani seifa osha amr la is kanshili beelu, mechla dereisha la beelu askinan. Here's the problem. The problem is the Bryce explicitly states that case of Elu, and if the Seifa of the Bryce states that case explicitly, we could infer from that's what? That the Reisha is not talking about that case, to which the Gemara says, you're right, Perushe Kamefarish. Rather, again, the end of the Bryce is coming to explain the first part of the Bryce. So, his Kanchili, I will say, here we go, here's the explanation of the Bryce. So, his Kanchili, but alone, Berimon be'egos, if a man says, when we come, Kudashes to me with the alon, rimon, and egos, Kate said, what's the case? Kigon, damrla is kachli be'elu, oh, where he says to her, become Kudashes to me with these things. Vikatani seifa, and the seifa comes along to explain the reisha and says, bizu natalaso va'achalaso. So what happens? If she took each one as they came in and she ate them, im yesh ba'achas mehen shaver pruta mikudashas, if one of them has a shaver pruta, she's mikudashas, ve'im lav eino mikudashas. And if not, she's not mikudashas. But one second. Ve'elo reisha lo kamaflik bein ocheles lemanachas. And yet, we'll say, what do you see in the first case? And you see in the second case, in the Seifa, where it says bizu, ubizu, ubizu. So that's where the Braisa makes the distinction. That says what? That one of them must be a shavar pruta. But yet, in the reisha's case, which was a case of elu, the reisha did not make a distinction and say that one of them has to be worth a shavar pruta. Rather, what do you see from here? Shema mina, kol heicha do amar la be'elu, ki ka'achla minafsha ka'achla shema mina. Therefore, we'll say, what do you see from here? That when you see a case of elu, elu means what? Elu Rabosai allows for the individual items to combine to form a pruta, even if what? Even if she's eating them as they come in. So I'll say, so bottom line, the Gemara brought this price as a proof to Rava. So what comes out from here is the following, that if he says to her, Hiskachli betamra zu, ubezu, ubezu, ubezu. That's the case, Rabbi Osai, where if she's, remember we said this yesterday, if it's manachas, if they're just sitting on the table, he's just saying, especially bezu, puts on the table, bezu, 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 then fine, they could combine to form a pruta. However, if she's eating them as they come in, then what? There must be one date that's worth a pruta. Because the problem is those dates that she's already consumed have the status of a halva'ah, and we're going to discuss in great depth today that you can't be mekadesh umah with a halva'ah. However, Rava comes along and says, if he says to her, be'elu, so we'll say be'elu ultimately means that he's conveying to her proactively ownership of the entire group of dates. If that is the case, then what? Then even if she's consuming them, the value of the consumed dates could still go ahead and combine to form the pruta. To which the Gemara says, "Hani chalaman damar seifa kai." So we'll say we're going back a little bit now to what we discussed yesterday. So remember, we had machlokes in Rav and Shmuel and Rav Asi about. Remember again in yesterday's Mishnah. In yesterday's Mishnah, we had two cases. The case number one was Hiskachli b'tamrazu, right? Hiskachli b'tamrazu, Hiskachli b'zu, Hiskachli b'zu. Three separate and distinct kiddushin articulations. That was case one. And again, in that case, the Mishnah ruled that what? One of the dates has to have a pruta. Case number two was Hiskachli b'zu, ubizu, ubizu, ubizu. And in that case, again, the Mishnah said that all of the dates could form the pruta. Then the Mishnah ended off with a statement that we didn't know which part of the Mishnah it's connected to. And it said that what? If she was eating them as the dates were coming in, then what? Then right, then actually right. So see, saying the maskana, the lashon of the Mishnah was at sheheba achas and shavar pruta. One of them has to be a shavar pruta. So the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel on one hand and Rav Asi on the other hand about which statement or which part of the Mishnah that last statement goes according to. So it says the Gemara like this: Hanicha. So we'll say, so this entire previous discussion makes sense according to the opinion that says that the Haisa Ocheles phrase of yesterday's Mishnah is going on the Seifa of Hiskachili Bezu'u 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 Umay Achihe Ba'achas in Shar Pruta. And therefore, I can both say, what did it mean in the Mishnah when it said that Bezu'u Bezu'u Bezu'u, as long as one of them has a Pruta, what does that mean? Remember, if she's eating it, it means until the last one has a Pruta. The meaning the last one, meaning until she receives one that has a Pruta, then she's Mekudeshes. Achihe Ba'achrona Shavar Pruta. Hachanami Sotu over here in the Braisa. Achihe Ba'achrona Shavar Pruta. But we'll apply that same logic in this case as well. When our Braisa here that we just quoted above said, Achihe Ba'achas in Shavar Pruta, in the case of Bezu'u, Bezu, Bezu, that'll refer to what? Until the last one has the Shavar Pruta. El Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Tarvayu, Arei Shakoi. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, who said that no, the last phrase of yesterday's Mishnah of Haisa Ocheles, if she was eating, that she's not Mekudeshes until one of them has the Shavar Pruta. So remember again, Rabbi Shmuel said that applied to the Reisha. So we'll say, so what was the novelty according to that? Remember again, so remember the Reisha of yesterday's Mishnah was what? His Kachli B'Tamrazu, his Kachli Bezu, his Kachli Bezu. So Rabbi Shmuel wanted to suggest that the Mishnah said that even, so remember, what was the Psak Halacha in that case? Just stam. A man says to a woman, his Kachli B'Tamrazu, his Kachli Bezu, his Kachli Bezu. What's the Halacha? Right? They do not combine. Meaning one of those dates must have a separate independent Shavar Pruta value. Why? Because since there's a specific, a distinct Kiddushin articulation about each of them, they do not combine. However, so remember, but Rabbi Shmuel said, the last line of the Mishnah said, that if she's eating the dates as they come in, they must be worth a Shavar Pruta. So, we already knew that to be worth a Shavar Pruta. Remember again, what was the novelty according to Rabbi Shmuel? Then what's the Havamina? I would have thought that because she's eating the dates, and what? Receiving immediate benefit now, that's what? That's what? That she's willing to forgive the Shavar Pruta value, Kamash Malon, no. That even as the Lashon of the Gemara is the Karva Haniyasa, even though she's getting direct now because she's eating it now, the Shavar Pruta requirement still remains intact. Se'al Rabbi Shmuel Rintarva Arei Shakai, Va'ocheles, it's Trichalei. But according to Rav Shmuel, who said in yesterday's Gemara, that the last line of the Mishnah goes on the Reisha of Iskachli B'Tamrazu, Iskachli Bezu, Iskachli Bezu, and the case of Ocheles was necessary to teach me the fact that even though she's getting more direct Hana, she still does not forgive the Shavar Pruta requirement. Sahacha, Kloli Kachashiv, Prati Lo Kachashiv, then that's the case over here in this Braisa. Are we only talking about general cases? And the Braisa makes no mention of a similar case of like Hiskachli B'Tamrazu, Hiskachli Bezu, Hiskachli Bezu. In other words, according to Rabban Shmuel, what's interesting to note is our Mishnah spoke about cases of what we call Klali Uprati. So remember again, there's a general case of Hiskachli Bezu, 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 and then there's a Prati case of Hiskachli Bezu, Hiskachli Bezu, Hiskachli Bezu. According to Rabban Shmuel, this Braisa only talks about general cases and makes no mention of makes no mention of specific kiddushin cases. Meaning like hiskachli bezu, hiskachli bezu, hiskachli bezu. Why is that? To which the Gemara says, "Hamani, no. Because in reality, this braisa has a totally different author. Who's the different author of this braisa? Who is the independent author of this braisa? So Rebbe, it's Rebbe. The Amar loshna kizayis kizayis, the loshna kizayis ukizayis. Pratahavi. This verse reflects the view of Rebbe. Rebbe holds it makes no difference if you say kizayis, kizayis, or kizayis, ukizayis. Rather, we look at each of those statements as separate, independent statements. So therefore, again, our Mishnah would actually be dealing with the case of prati, of individual situations as well, even though you don't have the normal lashon of pratim like u, because the author of our Bryce is Rebbe, who holds there's no difference if you say kizayis, kizayis, or kizayis, ukizayis. Each of those statements are reckoned independently. So we'll say, so who is this? What is this talking about? Take a look at Rashi. It's almost right across. Hachi garsin ar hamani Rebbe hi damar loshna kizayis kizayis loshna kizayis kizayis ukizayis prati. V'hach seifa diktani bizu netalaso va'achalaso va'od bizu va'od bizu. So therefore, the end of the brayso that spoke about the case of where he says his kachli bizu, and she takes the date and eats it, and then bizu and she eats it, and then bizu and she eats it. Tana achrinahu, it's a different tana. V'lav hainu tana dereishu mitziasa. In fact, it's a different tana, different opinion than the two previous parts of the brayso. So svira lekarebi v'tana ocheles v'adin lemanachas v'ocheles, and therefore, according to Rebbe, it makes no difference again whether she's eating it or whether she's receiving it and putting it down. It's trichale lashmirin and da'afagav the makar v'hani yasalam makar shabaos yishaber pruta. So lesson number one is that even though she's consuming it, she still does not commit to the kiddushin for less than a shaber pruta. Ula hachitana bezu trezimni gabi natalaso v'achalaso v'od bezu v'od bezu. Because we'll say, interesting enough, what the Gemara is suggesting is what you thought was a case of bizu u bizu u bizu. According to the author of this braisa, who we're identifying as Rebbe, his kachili bizu u bizu u bizu actually is the equivalent of saying what? His kachi bizu, his kachi bizu, his kachi bizu. So the Gemara says, "Vahach." So we'll say this is the opinion of Rebbe. So again, understand all the Gemara is just trying to point out of here. We'll say is the following: the beauty of our Mishnah on Mem Vav and Daf that we had in yesterday's Daf is that the Mishnah spoke about both cases. Spoke about what we call a klal case of like fiskat shili bizu u bizu u bizu, and spoke about a prat case. Prat case is what? His kachili bezu, his kachili bezu, his kachili bezu. What the Gemara is just pointing out is it's intriguing that this braisa, which is brought as a follow-up on the Mishnah's discussion, only seems to discuss a case of what? Of klal. Bezu, 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 or in the case that we just said according to Rava, be'elu. But there doesn't seem to be any specific case of what? Hiskachili bezu, hiskachili bezu, hiskachili bezu. To which the Gemara says there is. In just the difference over here is that the author of this braisa is Rebbe. Rebbe is of the opinion, Rabosai, that essentially a statement of hiskachili bezu, ubezu, ubezu is the equivalent of saying what? His kachili bezu, his kachili bezu, his kachili bezu. In other words, Rebbe holds that cases of bezu, ubezu, ubezu are the equivalent of specific, separate kiddushin articulations of his kachili bezu, his kachili bezu, his kachili bezu. Now, where's Rebbe Shita found? So now finish that Rashi. We'll say first wide line in Rashi. He says, V'hoch to Rebbe v'zvachim parbeiz b'mechashev shchitas hazevach bein sheshachat amenas le'achol kizayis l'machar. Kizayis lamachar, kizayis bachutz, bein shomer kizayis lamachar u kizayis bachutz, habi lehu shtei machshavos. So we'll say, without getting into all the details right now, but when a kohen goes ahead and does the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, there are essentially two ways that he can go ahead and passel the avodah. One is through pigul. Pigul means that he has intent to eat the carbon outside of the permitted time, and the other part is to eat it bachutz. Bachutz means you can only eat the carbon within a certain prescribed area. If he has in mind that he's going to eat the carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that also renders the carbon unfit. But like, technically speaking, once you make a carbon pigul, so pigul again is a chiyuv karis. Bachutz is not a chiyuv karis. So technically speaking, once you go out and you make the item pigul, technically speaking, the item is not subject to any other prohibitions. So everything has, however, if you first go ahead and make it bachutz, and then go out and make it pigul, technically speaking, they could both work. Without getting into the details of it, there's a machlokes over here between Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda about what happens if a kohen has both negative machshavas. Let's say he has the machshava for pigul, as well as the machshava for chutz. So just finish that Rashi. Rashi says that Rebbe holds. So he says, if the Kohen shechts it, he says, Amenas lechol kizayis lamachar, kizayis bachutz, bein shomer kizayis lamachar, whether he said, I'm going to eat a kizayis tomorrow, u kizayis bachutz, and the kizayis outside, havi lehu shtei machshavas. It's considered to be two separate disqualifying machshavas. Ul Rabbi Huda da azil basar loshan rishon havi pigul the chayal v'kar. So we'll say, so Rabbi holds that it can count as two separate machshavas. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, holds that we look at the machshava you had first. That machshava you had first determines whether or not the second machshava could set in at all. Fine. For our purposes, we'll say, what's the importance of this? For our purposes, Rabbi is of the opinion who says that by karbanos, it doesn't make a difference if you say kizayis or kizayis or kizayis kizayis. Rather, we look at them as two separate machshavas. So too over here, Rebbe would say that in the case of where what? Where a man says, Hiskachili bizu'u bizu'u bizu, the way Rebbe interprets that case of Mosai is how? He understands that the case of bizu'u bizu'u bizu, which we were looking at, contiguous statements, he looks at as what? Separate, independent statements. That every bizu'u bizu'u is the equivalent of Hiskachili bazu, Hiskachili bazu, Hiskachili bazu. Fine.
Just having an achshava alone without actually doing it.
That's by karbanos. That's by karbanos. Correct. By karbanos, that's the unique thing by disqualifying karbanos. Even machshava of a kohen disqualifies. That's correct. There need not be an articulation. But we'll say, for our purposes today, what we come out with from this sugya is, first of all, we accept the qualification of Rava, that lamaisa, again, the only problem with halvah is when he says, bizu'u, 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 and she's eating it as it comes in. But if he says to her, hiskachili be'elu, and makes it clear that he's going to be giving her a number of dates until they go ahead and they combine until the pruta. Even if she's eating them as they come in, they still combine to form a pruta. I'm a wrap. Well, see, now we're going to get into an interesting sugya. Hamekadesh b'milva. A man goes ahead and is mekadesh with a loan. Okay, what's that? So the assumption over here that we're talking about is he loaned her money. He loaned her money. And now he's saying, you know the $1,000 I lent you? I forgive it. And let that count as kesef kiddushin. What's the halacha? Ina mekudeshes. It's not mekudeshes. Rabosai. Now, the novelty, Rashi says, if you look at the second line in Rashi, ina mekudeshes, afilu yeshna be'en. Rabosai, the novelty is what? Let's say, I lent the Isha $1,000 yesterday. And what? She hasn't spent it. The money's sitting on her dining room table. Nevertheless, you can't be mekadesh more with a halva. The Chiddush of Rashi will say is, I would have thought that if the money's mamish sitting there until it's not yet been spent, I can't use it for Kiddushin. Kamashon that I can't. Why not? So the Gemara says, Milva l'hotza nitna. For one simple reason, I will say, because a loan is meant to be spent. L'hotza nitna, I will say, means that essentially we're going to see that when I lend someone money, that money becomes the property of the borrower. That's a milva l'hotza nitna. Therefore, when I forgive a debt, it's interesting, I am not in halacha actively conveying anything to the borrower that the borrower did not already own. We'll say, listen to this logic for just a moment. Remember, so I said, what are you talking about? I lent them money. I'm forgiving the obligation to repay. But lamaisa, in terms of what I'm conveying to him, I'm not conveying to him anything new. When I lent the Isha $1,000, she became the owner of that $1,000. If I say, you don't have to pay me back, technically, I'm not giving her anything more than she already has in her possession. Look at Rashi, lohotza nitna, halo berashre lohotzia bohotza. The borrower is entitled to use it any way that he or she wants. Ve'eino chayev la'amida be'iska shetei mitzui b'chol eis. So you both say, what that means is the following. See, I might have thought that when you lend money to someone, so what that means is you have to use it in a way where it's readily available to pay it back. And it's actually an interesting discussion in lending. So I lend someone money. I might have thought that the borrower has an obligation to use that money in a quote-unquote financially safe way that ensures that that money is readily available to pay back. That is not the halacha. Now, both say, remember, when you lend money, you could stipulate that. You could absolutely stipulate that. You know, I'm only allowing you, let's say I know somebody's borrowing investment capital, so I'm only allowing you to invest this money in a certain way. I can make that stipulation, but absent the stipulation, the borrower could do whatever they want with the money, even though that money will not be readily available for paying back. So we'll say essentially the Gemara is saying, so the phrase of milva lahotza nitna means that the borrower has full shlita, has full rights, full ownership over that money. Therefore, when the man says, I forgive that debt, and that money should be for you for kesef kiddushin, in essence, she's not receiving anything new. To which the Gemara says, Kitne mekitanoi, let's say it's machlokes tanoim, hamekadish b'milva einu mekudashes, because we'll say on one hand, we seem to have a machlokes on the Brisa, it says, if you're mekadish from with a loan, she's not mekudashes. V'yesh amre mekudashes, and others say, she is mekudashes. My love, bakum efagis, we'll say, what are they arguing about? Demar sarvel milva lotzan nitna, mar sarvel milva lavlotzan nitna. Maybe what they're arguing about is the fundamental definition of a loan. One opinion holds that what? Milva lotzan nitna, which means what Rabbi will say, that the borrower becomes the full owner of the money. And therefore, again, if a man tries to be mechadish with a milveh, it doesn't work because he's not giving her anything. And maybe the other opinion holds that what? Maybe not. Maybe when you lend someone money, you're giving them usage of the money, but do they become the owner of the money? Absolutely not. Well, if they don't become the owner of the money, then when the man forgives the debt, then what? Then what? He's giving her an item of real consideration, and therefore, again, it should be good. To which the Gemara says, "Tisbe, Rabbi, 1 second. Is that really true? Ema sefer. Look at the end of that brayso. V'shavin b'mecher shezek kana. But Rabbi says, we know that when it comes to sales, to other sales, to a mecher, it works. Well, so what does that mean? Let's say I go ahead and I sell Reuven money. I sell Reuven land. Sorry. And let's say, again, the price of the land was $10,000. And it just happens to be that I lent Reuven $10,000. So what could Reuven do? Right? Reuven sold me land for $10,000. So I owe him. It happens to be I lent Reuven $10,000 the other week. So what could I do? I could forgive the debt, and the forgiveness of the debt becomes payment for the land. So both say you see that it doesn't work by kiddushin, but it does work by mekach u'memkar. It does work by sales. Now here's the issue. If you hold that a loan literally becomes the property of the borrower, that in reality, what have I given Reuven for the purchase of the land? On the other hand, by Amra Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mukin La B'Mili Ochari. Huna, our friend, he establishes Brisa by interpreting it differently. What's the case? Listen to the case. The case over here is, a man says to a woman, hiskatshili b'mana, so go ahead and become ikudeshes to me with a mana. This is a regular case, you're both say, become ikudeshes to me with a mana. I'm giving her money, and what happens? V'nimtza mana chaser dinar. And it turns out that there's a dinar missing from the mana. So we'll say, listen to this. So what's the machlokas? Mar savar k'seif ali mil salim mitvei. So we'll say, see, here's the issue. The issue is, can we say, so I say to the woman, become ikudesh dinar with the mana. It turns out that it's a mana less a dinar. So can I say that she's mikudesh, but what? I owe her the dinar. When you become a kodesh with the money, but I owe you now a dinar. So the machlokes mar savar k'seif alei mil salim mitvei. So one says a woman's going to be too embarrassed to ask her husband for the other dinar. Umar savar lo k'seif alei mil salim mitvei. And the other opinion says no, she's not going to be too embarrassed to ask him for the dinar. So we'll say if you hold that she's too embarrassed to ask him for the dinar, then what? Then lamaisa, if you can say she's too embarrassed to ask for the dinar, then she's not going to become mikudeshes. Because you're going to see she's not going to commit herself to this amount of money. If you hold on the other hand, that's what? She's not embarrassed to ask for the dinar, then what? She'll become mikudeshes. And what? The rest of the money is simply a debt owed from him to her. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ksef alei milsal mitvei v'lo samcha daito." Therefore, she does not commit to the kiddushin. Hilchach in mikudeshes. On the other hand, "Ksef alei milsa." I'm sorry, not yet. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ve'ela hadam Rabbi Lazar, his kachli b'mar. So we'll say, so that will be the machlokes of whether or not he become mikudeshes with a debt. That's what the Gemara means over here. We'll say that what does it mean when it says, "Can she become mikudeshes to him with a debt?" That's this case. He gave her a mana, becoming kodesh with a mana. The mana is missing a dinar. So the shaila is, can we view the remaining dinar as a debt that he owes her? One opinion says yes, because she's not going to be embarrassed to ask for the remaining money. Other opinion says no, because she will be embarrassed to ask for the remaining money. Therefore, again, she doesn't commit to the mana chaser dinar.
Where's the mana amr? If in the case where he had loaned her the money, then that mana amr would hold it. That's a good.
No. So according to this approach, everyone will agree that with forgiveness of a debt will not work. Correct. I was saying good. In this case, also in this version, everyone agrees that forgiveness of debt does not work for effecting kiddushin. The Gemara is talking about this machlokis, whether or not you can kaddish someone with a milveh, but it's a different kind of milveh. This is where, again, he promises her X amount of dollars. It turns out that he's only delivering X minus Y. Could the difference be considered a debt that he owes her? That's dependent on if we view that a woman is going to be assertive enough to collect money that is owed to her. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ve'elah hadam Rabbi Lazar. But yeah, what about Rabbi Lazar? It's catchy b'mana v'nasan ladiner. Well, so what about the following case? Rabbi Lazar says that if a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me, and he gives her a dinar, Meaning, I will say, this is the reverse case. In the previous case, he gave her all of the money, less a dinar. In this case, he's only giving her a dinar. So what's the halacha? Harezu mikudeshes v'yashlim. Ultimately, again, she's mikudeshes, and he owes her the rest of the money. So lima kitanai amr l'shmaite. So is Rabbi Elazar only stating his opinion according to an opinion? Rabbi Elazar, according to what we just said before, this should be machlokes. That's whether or not this works. Amri, mana chasa dinar ksef ale milsal mitveh. So Rabbi Elazar will say, no, I'll explain to you. We'll say, when he promises her a mana, and he delivers her a mana less a dinar, so she's going to be embarrassed to ask for that amount of money. Why, Rabbi Elazar? Right, sounds like she's being petty. Sounds like she's being petty, right? It's like when you get to the store and they owe you 2 cents change. They don't give it to you immediately. You know, you're a little bit... Actually, we're not hesitant about that. Fine, so this is the rest of the following. So, right, so what happens? So, ksefele milsa mitveh, mana chasu tishin v'tisha, lo ksefele milsa mitveh. Both say, if he promised her a mana and he only delivered her a dinar, she's not going to feel petty asking for the rest of that money because so that's significant money. So, they say, the Gemara is the kasha, ha'omer li'isha is kashli b'vikadon she'ish li'biadeich. Well, it's an interesting case. Let's say a man says to a woman, "Become mikudeshes to me with the pikadon that you're holding." We'll say, now remember, this is pikadon. Pikadon means, let's say, I gave an isha my Rolex. So she is watching my Rolex. So I'm not alone. She's a shomer. Say her, "Become mikudeshes to me with the pikadon. You can keep the pikadon. That's going to be your kiddushin." V'halcha. So I'll say, so she agrees. So what happens? We go, right? So we're going back to her house to celebrate the L'chaim. So what happens? We go back to the house. V'halcha. Umatzasa shenignav. O sha'avat. Right? So we'll say, what happens? It turns out, Rolex is gone. Rolex is gone. So im nishtayer heimenu shaver pruta mikudesha. So we'll say, so let's say again, they stole the Rolex, but they left the band. So if there's a pruta worth of the pikadon left behind, then mishid mikudeshes, ve'im lav ina mikudeshes. However, again, if there's not a pruta of the pikadon left behind, then she's not mikudeshes. Ubemilvav, when it comes to a loan, afa pishla nishtari hemena shaver pruta mikudeshes. Rebosa, if I was mikadesh woman with a loan, even if there's not a pruta left of the loan, in other words, we'll say what this sounds like over here is, I lent her $1,000. She said, wonderful, I didn't even spend it yet. Let's go back to the house. We'll celebrate the lechayim. So what happens? You get back to the house, the money's stolen. The money's stolen. So by a milveh, even though there's not a shaver pruta left, she's still mikudeshes. I'm sorry?
What was the pikadon? A gift? What was the
pikadon? No, she was watching it for me.
Shomer.
So here's the distinction over here. So in this brisa, by pikadon, if I'm a kaddish with pikadon, and the pikadon was stolen, as long as what? There's a sharp root left of the pikadon. By halva, first of all, number one, the brisa is telling me is what? I can't be a kaddish with halva. And number two, what? Even if there's nothing left, she's still mikudeshes. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Omer, Shom Rabbi Meir, Milveh, on the base, Milveh Hari Kipikadon. So what's Rabbi Shimon Elazar says the name of Rabbi Meir, that no, a Milveh is treated the same way like a Pikadon, which Rabbi sounds like what? There has to be what? At least the Shavarpruta of the Halva'a left. So the Gemara says, At Kanlo Pligi Ela Demar Shavar Milveh Af Agav Lonishtai Mena Shavarpruta, Umar Savar Nishtai Mena Shavarpruta in, Vi'i Lo Nishtai Yerhe Mena Shavarpruta Lo. So Rabbi said, the only machlok is happening over here is what? Is whether or not Milveh treated like a pikadon. Do you need to have a pruta left of the halva in order to affect kiddushin or not? About the kuli alma mekadesh and mikudeshes. Rabbi said, what is the brisa taking for granted? Everyone seems to be agreeing that what? That you can be mekadesh or the halva. In other words, Rabbi said, the only machlokes is, do you need some of the halva to be left over in order for kiddushin to take place? But other than that, everyone seems to be agreeing that what? That she could be mekadesh with a halva. So it's a contradiction. We just said before, he can't be mekadesh with a halva. Now we're saying you can. Am Rava Tizbira. Hamitaretzta. Mishabeshtahi. To which Rava gives a very interesting answer. Why do you assume that this braisa is authoritative? Mitaretzta Ravosa means that it's been vetted and correct. Maybe the braisa is mishabeshta. Maybe the braisa is corrupted. But in other words, who says this text is correct? So the Gemara says, after all, hai pikadon hechi dami. Let's analyze this for just a little bit. Because thinking about Hava, the Pikadon case doesn't work. Why doesn't the Pikadon case work? Hechi dami, what's the case of Pikadon? Idi kabel alei achrayis. If you accept it, if the woman accepted achrayis on the Pikadon, hainu milveh, then I both said, then lamaisa, again, that should be the same case as the milveh. Look at Rashi. Ida kabel ala achrayis. Last wide line. She'im yignov tishal menulo. If the woman took achrayis, that if the pikadon is stolen, that she'll pay it back. Hainu milva. Kevan shenignov v'nischayva bo nimtza milva etzla. Because also listen to this logic. Because what happens if the woman accepted achrayis on the pikadon? So what happens if the Rolex is stolen?
She owes him
the money. Which Shabbos says is another name for what?
No.
Hava. Right? So if you want to say it's a case of pikadon where she took achrayis on it, then essentially it's pikadon. Ihachi, if that's the case, I'm sorry. Ida lo kabel ale achrayis. I'm signing. So if she didn't accept achrayis, I'll say then what? Then what? So look at Rashi. Ella delo kabel al achrayis v'chi ignov lo achay v'boy. Ella kibla ala achrayis mikudesha. So also listen to this. So e delo kabel achrayis ihachi ad tani seifa. Obamilva afa pishlishtaya menashavar putam mikudeshes. So we'll say, so therefore, if that's the case, that she did not accept achrayas on the pikadon, so instead of the braisa introducing the case of halva, and telling me that by halva, if there was not afa pi, if by halva, even if there wasn't a puta left over, she's still mikudeshes, I would say, niflog v'nisne bididei. Go ahead and make a further distinction in the case of pikadon. How so? When do we say that lamaisa again she's mikudeshes? If there was a pruta left over of the pikadon that shelo kibla ale achrayis, that if she did not accept the responsibility for the pikadon, ala kibla ale achrayis. But if she accepted responsibility over the pikadon, which Rabbi Yossi essentially makes the pikadon what? What does it make to be kadon? Makes a halva, afa gavdolo nishtayer himena pruta mikudeshes. Then even if there wasn't the pruta left of the pikadon, she should still be mikudesh. Suppose you hear the logic of the braisa. What the gemara is saying is like this. If you're going to say, let's take a couple of things. Let's take the stated facts of the Mishnah as being correct. The Mishnah said that by pikadon, there has to be at least a pruta left of the pikadon for it to be mikudeshes. By halva, even if there's not a pruta left, she's still mikudeshes. The Gemara says, well, then let the price further distinguish the case of pikadon. If she took achrayis, when do we say that there needs to be a pruta left of the pikadon in order for her to be mikudeshes? That's only if what? If she didn't take achrayis, but if she took achrayis over the pikadon and what Rabbo say, then even if there's not a pruta left, she should still be mikudeshes. Why? Why? Because it's like a halva, and by halva we've said that even if there's not a pruta left, she's still mikudeshes. Ela taritachi. Rather, here's how you have to interpret it. Ubamilva. So therefore, Rabbo say what the Gemara is pointing out is the brayse itself must be flawed. The brayse's lashon must be flawed. Ela taruzaki. Rather, here's how you have to interpret the Mishnah, the Braisa correctly. Ubemilva, apa pishen ishtayer himen eshaver pruta, eina mikudeshes. Oh, with the way the Braisa should read this halavosai, that by halva, even if there is a pruta left in halva, what? She's not mikudeshes. Why? Why? Because you can't be mikudeshes with the halva. Rabbi Shimon Elozer Omer, Rabbi Meir, milva harihi mivikadon. But on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Elozer said in the Ramir that no, milva is like a pikadon. So So what are they arguing about? Amir Rabba, Ashkech Sinu L'Rabban Amir Rav Diasi V'Kamri. So we'll say, here's what they're arguing. So now what we have is the following. Now at least we've interpreted the Breisa in a way that goes in accordance with our sugya, namely, that you can't be Mekadeshum with a halva. Except now there's a machlokus between the Tana of the Breisa and Reb Shimon Elozer name of Rav Meir. Because Reb Shimon Elozer name of Rav Meir said that no, milva is like pikadon. If you say milva is like pikadon, then what? Then what? Then as long as there is what? A pruta left of the halva, then what? Then lemaisa, she should be mikudesh, she's like a pikadon. So what are they arguing about? So Rav said, Amar Rabba, Ashkechin sinu l'rabbanim bei Rav Diasi v'ka'amri, that I found the Rabbanim in the yeshiva of Rav, and they were arguing about the following. What are they arguing about? This is quite fascinating. Listen to this case. What they are arguing about, we'll say, is a yisodistic idea in Hava, in loan. So here's the question. Let's say I lend someone I lend someone money. Let's just keep it, not an object. Money. The shaila is, at what point in time does that money become the property of the borrower? In other words, let's assume that everyone subscribes to the idea of milva lahotza nitna, which means what they're both saying, that when I lend someone money, that money becomes the property of the borrower. It's his. The shaila is, at what point in time does it become the borrower's property? Does it become the now there are two possibilities. What are the two possibilities? Possibility A.
Right away.
As soon as I, the lender, give the money to the borrower, it becomes property. The other possibility we'll say is what? When he spends it. That meaning it's not really his until he spends it. We'll say now there are two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is for own sin. Well, actually, nafkamina number one is for what we'll call, you know, loan recall. Let's say I have remorse. I decide, you know what, I didn't want to lend Reuven $1,000. Can I call back the loan before the due date? So we'll say, if you hold, that's what? If you hold that the money really only becomes the property of the borrower when what? When he spends it, then as long as he hasn't spent it, then what? I, the lender, have the ability to recall it. If you hold, however, again, once he gets it, it's his, then the maestro, I don't have the ability to recall it until when? Until the due date of the debt. Furthermore, again, for onsin, both say, let's say some extenuating circumstance happens and destroys the money. Who is chayiv? See, if you hold that the borrower doesn't really own the money until when? Until he spends it, then any onsin that happened to the money before he spends it, ultimately are onsin that have to be shouldered by the lender. If on the other hand, again, it's immediately upon receiving it, then it's by the borrower. So the Gemara wants to suggest that's the machlokes over here. So the Gemara says, Demar Savar, Milva Birshus Love Kaimo. So the first opinion holds that when you lend money to a borrower, that money is considered to be in the Rishus, ultimately of the Lova immediately, even before he spends it. As soon as the Lova gets that money ultimately is his. V'huadin l'onsin, and Abosai again. And that is true by what? That is true by onsim as well. That is true by extenuating circumstances as well. Umar Savra Milva Birshus Bailin Kaima. Well, this is really fascinating. The other opinion says that no, until the lender spends the money in some way, begins, not that's an older, but begins to spend the money, the borrower, thank you. So the borrower begins to spend the money, that money ultimately is in the rishus of the malve, of the lender. Vahu adin la onsin. Vamina lahu. And I'm sorry. No, because this is not a shmira. This is not a shmira case, right? This is not shmira. This is lending, so it's different. It's a different thing than shmira. The raya, because I'll tell you why. One simple idea: because I don't have to give back the same money that I borrowed. You see, it's not shmira. A din of shmira is where you give me an object, I'm interested, and I have to return that object to you because I don't have to return the same object that I borrowed. It's not shmira. So the Gemara says, "If you want to say, 'Amin lehu,' I said." So we'll say everyone agrees that for own sin, once the money gets to the hands of the borrower, he's chayav. We should understand, it has to be that way. Right? It can't be that I give my money or my object to someone else, and lemay say again, I'm still chayav for own sin. It can't be like that. Rabbi Gemara says, everyone agrees that as soon as I lend him the money belongs to the borrower for the sake of own sin. My time, or what's the reason? Logara mishaila. Because the Bible says this is no different than lending someone an object. Mashaila the hajra be'ene chai ba'onsin, milvala kol shekin. The Bible says when it comes to shaila, if I lend someone something, he's a shoel, the moment he gets it, he's chayiv for onsin. And the Bible says in that case, he has to give me back the object itself. All the more so, once I, the lender, give the borrower money, he's chayiv for onsin. Elahacha milva birshus bailim lechazora ika benayim. Our Rabbi said the fundamental shaila over here is what we'll call loan recall. Loan recall. If I go ahead and I lend someone money and they have not yet spent that money, begun to spend that money, do I have the ability to recall the debt or not? So the Gemara says ve'elahad de amara. So we'll say that's the fundamental machlokes. That's what Rose said. You understand, of course. You understand how does this apply to Kiddushin? Rose said this applies beautifully to Kiddushin. Why? Let's say I lend Rachel $1,000. I lent her $1,000 yesterday. What happened? She didn't get spend it. So Rose said, if you hold, that's what? That loan recall is a possibility before the borrower begins to spend the money, then what? then technically speaking, Akim Mekadesh with that woman. Why? With that woman. With that money. Why? Why? Because that money is still mine. I have recall. As long as I have recall power, then what? I will say, I want to point out, I don't actually have to take it back. But because I can't take it back, that money is still in my rishos, and therefore I can Mekadesh with that money. If on the other hand you hold that once I give her the money, I no longer have loan recall, even if what? She has not yet begun to spend it. Then what? It's milvah lahotzah nitna. It's her money, and I can't be mekadisha with those monies. Incredible. But yeah, what about Rav Huna said? If you borrow an axe from your friend, bikabo, once my friend goes ahead and uses that wood, bikabo also means he chops with it. Once he went ahead and he used it to chop, kino, he acquires it. Lo bikabo, lo kino. Once he doesn't, if he didn't chop with it, he did not go ahead and acquire it. So again, is this a one-sided statement? In other words, what this sounds like is what? This sounds like that a borrower only acquires something when Rabosai, when he actually uses it. And Jewish Gemara says, no. Lo. Ad kan lo pligi ela bemilve. Rabosai, this machlokis only applies by halva, by a loan of money, to lo hadra be'ena. Because Rabbi say the loan of money doesn't go back, meaning the borrower need not return the same monies to the lender. But Rabbi say when it comes to borrowing an object, where that object must be returned in its original form, divrei hakol bikabo in lo bikabolo. So Rabbi say here's what's interesting. The Gemara says, bikabo in lo bikabo lo kino. So Rabbi say interestingly enough, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that lemaisa. Everyone agrees that when you lend someone an object, they only acquire that object for usage when they actually use it. Rabbi, it's actually very important, because what it's saying is like this. If I lend someone an object for a specific duration of time, I have the ability to recall that object as long as they have not yet begun to use it. If once they've begun to use it, then Lamai say again, I can't recall it until the due date. But before they used it, Rabbi said that's only by objects where everybody agrees with that. By money, that's a machlokes. By money, if the loan money is still sitting on the table, do I, the lender, have the ability to recall it? That seems to be the machlokes, and it appears that that machlokes will be the very machlokes about whether or not you can be mechadish woman with a milva or not. So nima kitanoi. Let's say this is a fat machlokes tanoim. His kachli bishtar chov. The man says to woman, become a kudesh to me with this note of indebtedness, the shtar chov. Opening our will say this now, whether or not this is a shtar chov against her or against someone else is not immediately known. We'll see that later on. We'll see it tomorrow, actually. Skavshi b'shtarachov, o shahayalom milva b'yad achirim, or Rabbi say, let's say I'm going to be mechadesh woman. So I say to her, become mechadesh to me with this loan document, or become mechadesh to me with the loan, with the loan that's due to me from others. So Rabbi say, let's say I lent Ruvain money. Ruvain owes me $1,000. I say to Rachel, become mechadesh to me with the payment of that loan. Meaning when Ruvain pays me, he's going to pay, I'm giving you the right to receive payment. So the Gemara says, Vihir Sha'alehem, and Rabbi say, he wrote him, the Baal, that man, wrote for her a shtar hashah. Well, say shtar hashah means a power of attorney. I write for a document that says that she is entitled to this shtar chov, or she's entitled to this debt from someone else. What's the halacha? Rabbi Meir omri kudeshes. Rabbi Meir says it works. The chachamim omrim ainu mikudeshes. The chachamim say she's not mikudeshes. To which the Gemara says, hi shtar chov hechi dami. What's the case of shtar chov? Ilema shtar chov da'achirim. So I'll say, if you want to say we're talking about a loan document of money that I lent to other people, that can't be why. Hainu milve biad achirim. We'll say, then it's saying the same case twice. If it's shtar chov of someone else, in other words, that I lent money to Ruvain, then that's the case of, we'll say, what milve biad achirim. That's the same case of having a loan that's due to me from other people. Elalav shtar chov dido. Oh, rather the case must be what? Where I lent Rachel money, and I'm telling her, I'm forgiving your debt, and become mekudeshes to me with that money. Umekadesh b'milva kameflagi. And the machlokes in Amir and the Chamra Bosai is about what? Does a man have the ability to be mekadesh a woman with a halva? That's the fundamental machlokes. So Bosai, what Gemara is suggesting is, what we thought originally was ledivrei hakol, that you can't be mekadesh a woman with a halva, turns out that's what? It's not ledivrei hakol, it's not according to everyone. And the Maiskan Samach Lokas, to which the Gemara says, no. The Olam Shtar Chov Da'achirin. No. In fact, the case of Shtar Chov, Rabosei, where he says, Rabbi Kami Kudeshes to me with this loan document, is a fact, a loan that he made to other people. Aye, but what about the fact, isn't that the same case as what? Shtar Chov Biyad Acherim, Hava Biyad Acherim, Vahacha, Bemilva Bishtar, or Bemilva Alpeh, Kamiflagi. Oh, Rabosei, two different types of loans. One is a loan made by mouth, verbal agreement, and one is the loan ultimately made in writing. So what does this mean, Rabosei? So the Gemara says, correct. Both are third party. The milva bishtar milva pal kamiflagi. So Rabosei, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, I'm sorry. The milva bishtar my pligi. Let's analyze this. So what does it mean when they're arguing the case of milva bishtar of a written document? They're arguing beplugta the Rebbe v'Rabbanon kamiflagi. The machlokus is in Rebbe and Rabbanon. What's the case? The sanyo. Osios niknos b'mesira divrei Rebbe. Rabosei, so here's the interesting. So what Gemara is suggesting is the following: there are two different cases in the Braisa. One case has to do where he wants to be mekadisher with a loan document, with a loan in writing, and one is a case where he wants to be mekadisher with a verbal loan. So what was the machlokes? So Rabosei, in the case of, I'm sorry, I keep losing the place. B'milva b'shtar, Michael Pligi. So both say, the case of the milva b'shtar, the case of the verbal agreement, what are they arguing about? Listen to this. B'pugdi d'rei b'rabbonon. So machlokes in the rabbonon. Disanyo. Osios niknos b'mesira. But here's the interesting question. Let's say I lent Ruvain money, and I want to give this loan, I want to give the right of collection of the loan to Shimon. How do I convey the right to collect this loan to Shimon? So both say, Rebbe holds, Osios niknos b'mesira, which means what? All I need to do, I the creditor, am holding the loan document. If I want to convey the ability to collect to another party, what do I have to do? I don't have to sign. I just have to hand them over the document. In other words, because whoever has the loan document has the power of collection. The chacham, the chum say no, bein shekasav alo maser, bein shemasav alo kasav. Whether you wrote a shtar hashah, power of attorney of collection, and you didn't give over the loan document, or whether you give over the loan document but you didn't write a shtar, lo kana ad sheyichtov v'yimsar. And both say, on the other hand, the chachamim hold that what? The chachamim hold that in order to acquire a loan document, you have to, what Rabbi say? You have to have two things. Number one, you have to give over the actual loan document, and you have to write a document of sale or a document of conveyance that I, the original lender, am giving over my power of collection to another party. So Rabbi say, so again, a fundamental machlokes about how you give over the power of collection of a loan. Rebbe holds, all you have to do is what? Give over the loan document. The Chum say you need two things. Yes, you have to give over the loan document, and you also have to write what? A separate independent bill of sale. Now, when I say sale, there might not be an exchange of money, but you understand the bill of sale meaning a document of conveyance. Mar islay de Rebbe, umar leslay de Rebbe. So I will say one opinion holds like Rebbe, one opinion doesn't hold like Rebbe. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, it's in Rashi, Bein Shekasov. Lo shtar mechira alo velo maser lo shtar achov. Bein shemaser lo shtar achov velo kaser lo shtar mechira. Lo kana. V'hachinami, what's the case of your Rabosai? Shemaser lo shtar achov. So Rabosai, what's the case in the Braisa? A man says to a woman, his kadshi li b'shtar chov zu, not a loan that he has from not a loan that he has against her, but a loan that he has against a third party. I lent Reuven $1,000. I come to Rachel, I say, Rachel, become mikudeshes to me with this shtar chov. Right? I'm giving you the rights of collection, and with that money, you should become mikudeshes to me. So I'll say, what happened? What did I do over here? I just gave her over what? The actual document. So according to Rebbe, the machlokes is, who do we paskin like? So according to Rebbe, if I just give her over the document, that's fine. But according to the Chachamim, she will not be the owner of that debt. And therefore what? Not mikudeshes. Because according to the Chachamim, in order to convey ownership over the debt, I have to give her what? I have to give her both the document as well as the document of sale.
Why is it good according to Rebbe?
What does it say? Mar islay de Rebbe, or mar leslay de Rebbe. One opinion will hold like Rebbe, one opinion will hold like Rebbe.
According to Rebbe, if it just gives a document and doesn't write a power of thing, the names are not... It's not.
No, because Rebbe says you don't need it. That's Rebbe's point. Whoever holds the document has the power of collection. When you show up in Beis Din, you have the document, you have the power of collection.
If you make a loan orally, then what's the difference here?
I'm sorry?
You can make a loan orally and not really.
No. Because what it means when it says milva al pet doesn't mean, what it means when it says orally, it means that he's giving her over the document without another form of conveyance.
Right.
That's a milva al pet.
But if you said orally to her that you would now have the control of it, then what's the difference between that and an oral loan that does work?
Because there's a document. No, there's no oral loan here. Everything is being done in writing. When he says milva al peh, what that means is, can you just convey to her the owner's the ability to collect the loan without another power of attorney document?
But that's only by word of mouth.
Correct, that's why it's called milva al peh. But there's still a document. Listen, let me clarify. Remember, understand what's happening over here. Two distinct things. I lent Reuven $1,000, okay? There's a document. Document says, Silber lent Reuven $1,000, Reuven owes me $1,000, okay? Now I'm a Mekadosh woman, Rachel, right? What do I want to do? I want to give her the loan document, all right? I'm just giving her the loan document. Here is the document, it's yours. You have the power of collection. Through that power of collection, you should become Mekudeshes to me. Does that work? Does that work? It's a machlokes. And what is a machlokes in Rabosa? It's not a machlokes in Kiddushin. It's a machlokes in how you could... I'm sorry?
In endorsement.
Right, correct. It's a machlokes in collection of debts. So do you have to endorse it or not? Rebbe says no. Rebbe says it's very simple. He who holds the document has the power of collection. The names are not the same. We know the names are not the same. But whoever has the document has the power of, whoever has the document is vested with the authority of the creditor. Therefore, according to Rebbe, that I have given to Rachel an item of value, the power to collect the debt, and therefore, again, she is Mikudeshes. According to the Chachamim, she's not Mikudeshes. Because according to the Chachamim, you need to actually endorse that loan, and the way you endorse it ultimately is twofold. Yes, you have to convey the actual document, but what? There has to be a separate side document that says that I have conveyed to Rachel the power to collect the debt. And again, the way Rachel collects that debt from Reuven is how she shows up to Beis Din with both of those documents, the original loan document and the power of endorsement as well. Therefore, the Gemara suggests that Lamaisa, again, that's the machlokes in the Braisa. The machlokes about whether or not you can go ahead and be Mekadesh Shomu with the Halval is this very machlokes. The case over here is, again, both say, not a debt I made to her, but a third-party debt that I conveyed to her. But I just conveyed it to her without a separate power of attorney. Does that work or not? Machlokes, Rebbe, and the Chacham. All right, well, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up in Yeretz Hashem with the Ibayis Ema tomorrow. I'm sorry?
And a cliffhanger.
And a cliffhanger, yes.
We never addressed